Welcome to the Third City Christian Church podcast. This week's message is Sincerely, Part 3, The Church, recorded Sunday, January 19th, 2025. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to office@thirdcityc.org. Now here's Scott with today's message.
Well, we are talking today about the church, the foundational aspect of our being. And that's true about you, or you wouldn't be here. Some people say, I don't need the church to be a Christian. Well, do you know what they call a wolf without a pack? A really cool mantelpiece. That's what. Because it's isolated and it's dangerous. And so I know there are those of you who are here who have dealings with church and you've been hurt. Hopefully not here, but even here, possibly. You know, we live in a world that tries to downplay or disregard the purpose of the church and the reason for the church. There are people here today who have left churches for a variety of reasons. Fact is, people do hurt people. It can be that you can feel like people didn't support you at a time you needed them, and it could be true. I've had people say to me, I just didn't feel like I was a good enough Christian to be a part of that church because I didn't follow the rules that they had set for us. The standards are too high. I've heard that. I wished it never happened, but some people experience hypocrisy in church leaders, and so it makes them feel, I don't know, they get disillusioned because they see people who say one thing and then act another way. And that's kind of a human thing, isn't it? I mean, all of us could say we've done that at times, possibly. Okay, but it's disillusioning when that's a church leader. To be honest, every person who leaves a church for whatever reason is a sinner, just like the sinners they're leaving. So be aware of that. I'm not trying to minimize your hurt, by the way. I'm just saying that it's unfair to blame a church overall, maybe, for the actions of a few sinners in the church. Because there are going to be sinners in every church. Just look to your left and to your right. Or look in the mirror. Okay? As a matter of fact, shouldn't the church be the place where sinners can come and find some hope, help, and healing, and support? Maybe from other sinners who are doing the same thing. I've said this before, you've heard other people say it. If you're wanting a perfect church, don't join, because you'll ruin it. Well, another factor about this conversation that's true is that there are bad churches. Like there are cults, for instance. There's a lot of them in America. America's full of cults. They're fakes. And you don't want anything to do with them. You shouldn't have anything to do with them. In 2 Corinthians 14, we're warned about it. Paul says, I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then that if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. His servants fake it too. That's the point. There are many so-called churches who are anything but churches. And just because it says church on the door doesn't guarantee that the Holy Spirit's inside. That is why it is important to understand and embrace Jesus' vision for the church. And that really is the only standard we should look at. We let the Word of God tell us what God has in mind for us, His church. Not its critics, not its wounded, And even not its most ardent advocates, of which I would say I am one of those. Paul writes this in Ephesians 4, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So who gives these things? Christ gives these people. He places these people. He gives the church a foundation of leaders. And why does he do this? To equip his people for works of service. And why would he want us to be equipped? What's his purpose? So that the body of Christ, that's one of the descriptions that's used to describe the church, the body of Christ. I think it's a beautiful description. We're going to talk about it later. In other places, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ as well. And I think that's a beautiful description. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of the faith, knowledge in the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here's one of my beliefs about the church. That individually, none of us are ever as mature as we need to be. But a church corporately can become very mature. I believe this. I see it all the time. Now, do you know how sometimes 16, 17-year-old males who are in a pack can act like immature doinks? Do you know what I'm talking about? So like, dudes, we know this. Ladies, maybe you do too. I don't know. You probably live with one of them. But males in certain contexts, they just start feeding off each other. You know what I mean? It's like a feeding frenzy of cynicism and mocking, okay? So, for example, I have this experience. I'll never forget it. Well, I might, but I won't yet. Where I was like 16 years old. It was at North High in Omaha. It was the locker room after gym class, and it was happening, you know, like the doinks were going off on each other. And there's this guy in the circle, pretty laid back dude, took a lot of ribbing. He watches our services online almost every week, so he'll probably know when I'm talking about this. But yeah, a big guy, tough dude, but really kind. Kind of guy you'd say, don't cross him. Don't push him too far. Okay, well, there's a little dude in the group, big mouth. Like the guy that's a funny guy, should be a comedian. At least he thought he was. And so he'd get going on somebody and just start ribbing him. Well, he started ribbing the big guy. And the big guy was kind of like chuckling and laughing for a while. Well, he took it too far. The little guy, because he was getting some play with all the other guys in the circle and getting some chuckles from them, the little guy started going off on the guy's girlfriend. Okay, I saw my friend change demeanors. By the way, he married the girlfriend. He changed demeanors. I saw him go from this, to you could see his face change, you could see his eyes change. And finally, little guy took it one step too far. And my friend got up and he said, hey man, you don't talk about her like that. And he cold cocked him. Now, I'm not an advocate of that kind of behavior. But I think about the church sometimes and I wonder if that, at least that emotion, might at least in part give us an idea for the kind of loyalty and protection that Jesus feels for his bride, the church. I don't doubt it. I don't. Now, I know sincerely, I know that many of you are finding peace because you're involved with church, whether it's our church or maybe it's another one and you're visiting here today. I know that. And I'm really glad to hear that. And I love hearing stories that people tell me about why they're here. After my first message this morning, I had several people stop and tell me cool stories about their experience being a part of Third City. And so we're going to do that today a little bit. And I want you to know that I have been a lifelong advocate for the church. Like, I believe in the church in all of its imperfections. I really do. I believe that a good church brings hope to people, hope to families, hope to communities, and the world needs the church. As a matter of fact, I will say this, and I believe it. The church carries the hope of the world on our shoulders. I know that's a lot, but it's true. I believe it. So let's talk about what the scriptures show us in this, and we're not going to look at every Bible verse, but here's just some context for that. Why is the church the hope of the world? Here's the first reason, because it's the body of Christ. We talked about this in the scripture already. 1 Corinthians 12, we are the body of Christ. And just as a human body is made up of many different aspects, parts, they all have to work together perfectly in sync so the whole body can be healthy and growing. The church is that in description. You are a part, a member of a body. You are integral, crucial to the health and success of Jesus's body on earth, taking hope to the world. Does that make sense? Okay, so think about yourself in that. Jesus formed this church we're here to serve God. We're here to help each other. We're here to minister to one another. We're here to mature together, to become the maturity of Christ in the world. We have a role to play in that. You are not isolated. You are a part of something. When you act in isolation, you are hurting yourself and you are hurting us. It's simple as that. Without you, we cannot fully be what God intends for us to be, to take the hope of Jesus to the world. It's as simple as that. I've been very intentional lately about asking people about their involvement at Third City and what makes it their church. And over the years, I've heard from many of you on these things. Some of these stories are kind of meld together. I've just got to be honest because I've heard so many of these stories in different ways from many people, but I've heard this. The church became my second family. I never felt alone because I had people who cared for me, prayed for me, encouraged me in ways I never expected. One of the most common things people long for in culture in general and in their lives is community, belonging. And you can belong to a lot of different things. You can go join a club. You can be on a golf league. You can be in some kind of a community, activity or like a club or whatever. You can go to the gym, okay, and get community there. And many of you do, and that's fine. No problem with that. But I'm telling you, and I believe this with all my heart, you'll never find the depth of community you need in your life like you will in the church, if it's the right kind of community. That's the key. Like I've had people say things like this. I just had this conversation a while back. When I lost my husband, I didn't know what to do. But people stepped in, my small group, my church family, the staff and the elders, they stepped in, they prayed with me. They brought me meals, gave me peace, knowing that I had a family even though I'd lost my husband. That's the church. Know this, the human body, your human body, your physical body possesses remarkable abilities to heal itself. And you know this. You have this intricate system and systems of regeneration and repair. So if your body gets injured, for instance, it initiates a cascade of healing responses, like your blood coagulates if you're bleeding and it stops the bleeding. If you have an infection, there will be inflammation in your body to control the infection, to fight it. There's tissue regeneration that restores damaged areas. Your cells rapidly divide to replace lost or damaged cells. You have specialized immune cells that work to prevent whatever harm might be done by infections and by the wounds that you have. Resilience. Your body just it returns itself to health. That's why Paul says the church is the body of Christ. Those descriptions work for us. All of our parts functioning well, everything that we need to be healthy and whole as a human and as an organization. That's the church, the body of Christ. Now, another thing about the church is this is a place where we grow to become like Jesus. We grow in Christ-likeness. It's important for that reason. And if, you know, I've said this at times, you've heard it, I'm sure, and I'm sure you've heard other people say this, and you've probably said it yourself at times, that you know what, if we're not growing, we're what? We're dying. Your physical body. If your physical body is not growing, I mean, I don't mean like growing like in size, but growing in regeneration and health, what is it doing? It's dying. Ephesians 4 talks about this. Ephesians 4:15. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him, the head, who is Christ. If you're in a body of Christ, you should be growing to become like Jesus. I had somebody tell me recently, it's like everything slows down and I remember that God is in control no matter what's happening around me. Somebody said in our small group last week something about how, I won't remember it perfectly, somebody else could do it for me, I'm sure, but they were talking about how it just is, it's just hearing the messages and how having a message at the right time in a sermon or a Bible study where the message comes out and it's just what I needed to get me to the next step in my growth in Christ. We build each other up through God's word, through teaching His word and preaching His word, and through the worship we do with you know, the music has a teaching approach to it as well. There's also the aspect of serving together, where we put it into practice with one another. The early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following talks about this beautiful picture of our gathering. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They did that then, we do it now. As they gathered regularly, they grew in their faith, and God added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, I've had people say this to me over the years. Usually, I'm going to be honest, it's usually jealous preachers that happens, or it's people who they don't appreciate our church because they go to another church and they want to compare our church to their church, and they want to pick on our growth as something negative. Okay, it happens. So you probably had somebody say, I don't want to go to that big church, for instance. Okay, I'm just going to say this. Take it or leave it. I don't know. I think it's true. Like, I would much rather go to a big church than a church that's dying. As a matter of fact, there's something not right when a church isn't growing. Doesn't mean you have to be a massive church, but is the church growing? Because we're supposed to grow. We are the body of Christ. We are nurturing. We're bearing fruit. And you know, I've also had people say this to me, your church is too big. I'll say, too big for what? The next guy that's going to go to hell if we don't reach him? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? I know I'm very defensive about this. It's probably coming across. Because I believe in the next person. And I believe that the hope of the world is Jesus. And I believe that Jesus' hope is for that next person. That's why I challenged you last week with five people who need the hope. The church is the community of believers. The church is not an institution. It's a community. Christianity is not a solitary pursuit. Jesus calls us to be in community. One of the things that people will say, and you've heard people say this, you've said it probably at some level, is that when I belonged, I knew it was different. I just had somebody tell me this in between services. She said how she came and she would come at first. She was invited by a family who is very regular in our church. And they said, why don't you come to church with us? She came. She said she'd sit on the front row and she'd just cry. just cry because she was so lonely and she wanted to be a part of people. And this church was that for her. It became that for her. It became her second family, you know? That's something that she came to find. Acts chapter 2 again, it talks about these common experiences we share. We break bread, we pray together, we encourage one another. It's the model of the church. It's what we're here to do. We're not just here to attend church on Sundays. I mean, that's okay, it's part of what we do, but it's not what we do in terms of who we are. Who we are. Who we are. We are in community. So when we see each other out there, what do we say? Third City, we're part of each other. You see those cars running down the road and you see that bumper sticker, Love Unlimited, you go, that's one of my peeps right there. You know, we're a community. Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that they are my disciples if you love one another. It's a place where we practice love. Hopefully we get better at it here so we can be better at it out there. Love. Church is a place of worship. It's a place of worship. Not just an individual thing. Like, you can worship alone. Like, I have experiences, maybe you do too, where you're in an isolated, solitary place and you're reading some scripture and you're praying and you're maybe you're singing, if that's your thing. That's worship. But worship is meant to be a corporate experience. Together. Communion. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we are encouraged to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Well, how are you going to do that if you're not together? The one another doesn't work if you're just one. You got to be one another, right? That's why we're doing known next week, so that maybe you've been one for a while. Next week, you're going to step into one another. You're going to become known, and you're going to be known. That's what next week's about. I hope you'll come. What do? We commune, we baptize, and we share that joy of baptism. We mourn with those who mourn. We grow together. It's worship that makes us better versions of ourselves. I've heard this. I used to be very angry and resentful, but over the years, he said, I've learned how to forgive, how to love others, and how to live in peace. Parker was telling me, someone said to him just recently, the church came at a perfect time in our lives. Our kids are now at the point where we know that if they're going to know God, we need to take them. No one else will. So we strengthen each other in this aspect of gathering together. We're reminded we're not alone in our journey. We're part of the larger global family. Big part of worship is we gather to celebrate God. We celebrate in joy and gratitude for what God's doing in our lives and for our hope for the future. I was told just a couple days ago, something I've heard many times from other people. This was actually happened in Broken Bow. I was there for a funeral Wednesday. And that person said, I started attending. I would just sit back. I would just sit in the back and try not to be noticed, she told me. She said, I would cry during the singing. Then the sermon would come and it'd make me start thinking about what's right for me and what's wrong for me. I'm paraphrasing her words. And being a part, she said, of a church is such a joy for me. It was something I was missing so desperately. And I didn't know it until I came. It's amazing. Because the church is God's instrument to give purpose and direction in life, to carry out his mission in the world, the Great Commission, as we call it, Matthew 28, where we're told to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, that has to start here. It starts right here. Jesus didn't command that just to individuals. He put his whole church before him and said, this is who you will be for the world I want to save. Because I'm the hope of the world, Jesus was showing us. I've seen it so many times in our ministry over the years. Like, you know, I can think of specifically one couple who I love dearly. They're a part of our lives. And many years ago, they were in my office at the end of their marriage, at the end of it. Like, I go home and think, it's over. You know, that was how far they'd gone. But, you know, they submitted themselves to God's word. They started practicing things like forgiveness and listening and serving each other. And they turned it around. And it's one of the many miracles that I've been privileged to witness, because purpose and direction comes to people who put themselves in God's hands. And now they're that couple, like they're the couple who's serving here, and they're the couple whose purpose is found in going to missions, on missions trips, because they love seeing the church expand into the world that needs the church and the message of Jesus. I love it. Because the church is the place of hope. It's the place of forgiveness. We are the place of reconciliation. We always must be. People who experience healing in the church will talk about how the church helped them forgive others, receive it from God, find peace. Someone said to me a while back, for years I carried around a lot of anger towards someone who's hurt me deeply. But I'm learning about God's forgiveness, and I'm learning how to give up anger. Finally found peace. Peace in my heart. I'm able to move on. Why is the church important? It's the body of Christ. It's where we grow to be like Jesus. It's a community of believers where we come together for his purpose. We worship together. We carry out his mission in the world. He equips us to serve. We are nurtured. We're challenged. We belong. The church is not optional. It's essential. And I can tell you, I don't know all the stuff that you think about in our world right now. You look at the politics, you look at the peace treaties, you look at the wars, you look at the, you know, look at the fear. There's only one thing that's going to make this world better, ultimately. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend. That's why I love the church, and I will till the end of my days. I hope you do too. In communion, We take time in our very busy and hectic worlds. We come together in communion. Communion means communing. We're together for this one purpose. This purpose is to say, Jesus, you're my hope. You are the hope of the church. You are the hope of the world. So, Lord, as we take these emblems together today, in unison, we celebrate a God who stepped in and who redeemed his body and who chose a bride and who loves her till the end of days and all the way through eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We take the bread, it's representative of his precious body, Jesus, broken for us so that we could be saved from our sin. The cup, reminder of the blood that he shed for that purpose, to offer us a new kind of family, a new kind of covenant, one based on forgiveness and grace. Our Jesus. Amen. So maybe, unless you haven't noticed, I'm really in favor of the church. Like, I love this church. I believe in the work this church is doing with all my heart. And I'm not just talking like a preacher. I'm telling you that my heart and my soul and my mind are moved forward because of you, because of this church. And I know that that can be your case too. And I don't know what you bring into this place today. You might have some real deep brokenness that you've had to try to work through because of previous experiences with church. I don't know. You might have some wounds. You might have some brokenness. But you know what? Don't let that keep you from healing. As a matter of fact, step in for healing. You know, because you might have an owie, but you can also help other people with theirs. God has a mission for you. He has a purpose for you. But you got to be willing to step in. Like, that's what Known's for next week. So if you're one of those people saying, yeah, I think I can give church a try. Okay, your next step is to go to Known, and it'll help you to walk through a process to, you know, to ask some good questions and to step into something that will give you life and give you hope and find some healing, which is what we do as the body of Christ. It's what we do. And yeah, there's some wounded people here. There's some doinks around. I'm just going to say it. Don't name them and don't point at anybody. But you know what? Don't go up and pop them. Just pray for them. Because they're here for the same reason you are. They need hope.
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Please join us for one of our live worship services at 8:45, 10:15, or 11:30 a.m. in Grand Island, and at 10:15 a.m. in Broken Bow on Facebook Live and at thirdcityc.online.church each Sunday. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to office@thirdcityc.org. Call us at 308-384-5038 or visit us online at thirdcityc.org.